Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're tackling one of the most fundamental concepts in all of science, but also, you know, one of the most misunderstood.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about the genes, and our guide for this is Jonathan Slack's fantastic book, Genes. A very short introduction.
And this is such a critical deep dive, because the way most of us think about genetics is, well, it's kind of stuck in the headlines.
The gene for X idea.
Exactly. The gene for intelligence or happiness or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's this very simplistic, almost fatalistic idea.
Mm.
And Slack's whole mission is to fix what he calls widespread genetic illiteracy.
Right.
So we're going to try and understand genes not as these static blueprints, but as dynamic, highly regulated units of information.
I love that framing because it immediately elevates the conversation, you know?
It does.
When you really get modern genetics, you realize you're understanding the very language in which the story of life is written. And this knowledge, it isn't just for academics. It's essential for understanding medical news, for having real conversations about society, and, you know, just for appreciating how evolution actually works.
We really do have to update our mental model of what a gene is.
So who is our guide on this?
Our guide is Jonathan M.W. Slack. He's a really distinguished British developmental biologist and emeritus professor with, I mean, decades of rigorous research behind him.
And what's so important about his perspective is his specific field, developmental biology.
Yes.
He wasn't just in a lab counting pea plants. He was focused on maybe the biggest, most complicated biological process there is.
Embryogenesis.
How does a single fertilized egg know how to build a whole complex organism? Or, you know, how does a salamander regrow a leg?
Precisely. His work on limb regeneration, on stem cells, it means he sees genetics completely through the lens of function and timing.
So it's not a dusty old recipe book for him.
Not at all. For him, genes are active participants in what he calls a complex unfolding biological drama.
Mm.
It's that focus on development, on regulation, that makes him the perfect guide for a modern view of the genome.
So with this book, Slack is basically trying to give the curious citizen a complete primer.
A foundational understanding.
Right. And he takes you on this journey, starting with the historical search for heredity and pulling us all the way into the 21st century with things like CRISPR.
And if there's one single thesis holding it all together, it's this. Genes are not static, deterministic blueprints.
They're not fate.
No. They're complex, interactive systems that are constantly responding to cues from inside the body and from the environment.
Yeah.
They're, at their core, they're information processing systems.
The journey the book takes you on is just, it's fantastic. You start with Gregor Mendel in the 19th century, right? Yeah. He's working with these abstract factors in his pea plants. He figures out the rules of heredity, but he has no idea what these factors physically are.
And then you leap forward into the 20th century and boom, the discovery of DNA's double helix. We finally have the physical molecule.
And that lets us understand the central dogma.
That universal flow of information.
Yeah.
From DNA to its messenger RNA to the final product, the protein.
It's so ambitious, but he covers it all. Mendelian rules, the structure of DNA, the incredible complexity of gene regulation.
And how that ties into development, diseases like cancer, evolution, and then the huge ethical questions around genetic engineering. It's a real roadmap.
All right, let's dig into the core mechanics. We need to define some terms, but let's use Slack's kitchen analogy. I think it's brilliant.
Too great.
So for you listening, think of it like this. The genome is the entire library of recipe books.
Everything.
The gene is just one single recipe in one of those books.
Right.
And the finished dish, the thing that actually does the work in the cell, that's the protein.
A great way to picture it. But we can't skip the foundation. Before we even knew about DNA, we had Mendel. He gave us the rules of inheritance. He introduced key ideas like alleles, which are just the different versions of a gene.
Yeah.
So you might have the allele for blue eyes versus the allele for brown eyes.
And he also taught us the crucial difference between genotype and phenotype.
Yes.
The genotype is your actual genetic code, what's written in the recipe. The phenotype is what you can actually see. The purple flowers, the tall plant, the observable trait.
And these traits are governed by the rules of dominant and recessive alleles. And this is what just blew people's minds at the time.
That a trait could just disappear.
Exactly. It could disappear for a whole generation, masked by a dominant trait, and then just pop right back up in the next one. It proved inheritance wasn't some kind of simple blending. It was discrete factors being passed down.
It's amazing to think that for decades, scientists knew these rules existed, but had no idea what the physical thing was.
Right. Which brings us to the I mean, the monumental breakthrough of the 1950s.
Yeah.
The physical code, DNA.
The double helix.
Slack walks us through the discovery by Watson and Crick, but he's really careful to make sure we credit Rosalind Franklin's essential work.
Her photo 51.
Her X-ray image, yeah. It provided the critical data that made solving the structure possible.
And that structure is everything, isn't it? Because the structure explains the function. Talk us through the elegance of that molecule.
It is all about the pairing. So you have the two strands of the double helix, but the information is in the four chemical bases, A, G, C, and T.
Yeah, and they have a rule.
A very strict rule. A always pairs with T, and C always pairs with G.
Mm-hmm.
And that rule of complementary base pairing is the whole secret.
Because that's how it copies itself.
Exactly. The DNA can split down the middle, and each strand can perfectly recreate its missing partner. It's the mechanism for stable, reliable information storage.
And the sequence of those bases is the genetic code. It's read in these three-letter words.
Called codons.
Right, codons. And each codon specifies one of 20 amino acids. It's a language that, I mean, basically all of life understands.
From bacteria to us.
Okay, so we have the recipe book, the DNA. How does the cell actually use the recipe to make the dish? This is the central dogma.
And it happens in two big stages. The first is called transcription.
Which is like photocopying the recipe.
That's a perfect analogy. The master copy, the DNA, stays safe in the cell's nucleus. But the cell makes a mobile working copy of one gene. That copy is called mRNA, or messenger RNA.
And an enzyme does the work.
Right. An enzyme called RNA polymerase reads the DNA and transcribes it into that mRNA molecule.
Okay, so we have our photocopy. The mRNA then leaves the nucleus and goes out to the cell's factory.
The ribosome.
And this is where stage two happens, translation.
Yes. Here, the ribosome reads the mRNA codons, those three-letter words. And another molecule, tRNA, acts like an adapter. It reads a codon and brings in the correct amino acid.
It's like an assembly line.
Totally. One by one, the amino acids are linked together in the exact order the gene specified. That chain then folds up into a complex 3D shape.
Then becomes the protein?
The protein. The little machine that goes off and does all the work in the cell.
Now, all of that amazing detail leads us to what I think is the most critical conceptual shift in the entire book.
I agree.
We've established that every single cell in your body, your liver, your brain, your skin, has the exact same DNA, the same instruction book.
Every single one.
So the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
Why are they all so wildly different?
The answer is gene regulation.
The control system.
It's the unbelievably sophisticated system that decides which genes get turned on, when they get turned on, and even how strongly they're turned on.
It's like an orchestra where every musician is present, but the conductor only signals certain instruments to play at certain times.
That's it. And the molecular conductors of this orchestra are things called transcription factors.
And what do they do?
They're proteins that physically bind to the DNA near a gene at these little control regions like light switches. Mm-hmm. They can either flip the switch on to activate the gene or flip it off to repress it. The complexity isn't the number of genes. It's the network of these switches.
And this is where it gets really practical. I mean, take cancer.
Yes. Slack frames cancer perfectly as a disease of broken gene regulation. It happens when you get mutations in these regulatory genes.
Nick, what?
Well, you can get mutations in genes called oncogenes, which are like the gas pedal for cell growth. A mutation can jam that pedal to the floor.
So it's stuck on go.
Stuck on go. And at the same time, you can get mutations that break the tumor suppressor genes. Those are the brakes.
The brakes fail.
The brakes fail. So it's this catastrophic failure of the regulatory system that leads to uncontrolled growth.
We also see the power of regulation in development, right? With these master genes.
Oh, absolutely. In master regulatory genes, he talks about the famous Hox genes, which are like these high-level conductors that map out the entire body plan.
And if they go wrong?
The results can be,
well,
catastrophic. You can get insects with legs growing where their antenna should be. That kind of error really highlights how critical, precise, timed regulation is for everything.
So this whole deep dive really reinforces three huge conceptual shifts that Slack wants to get across. Let's just highlight those.
Yeah, let's.
Theme one, the centrality of regulation. This is massive. You know, when the human genome was first sequenced, people expected to find, what, 100,000 genes?
Oh,
and we only found about 20,000, not that much more than a tiny worm.
Right.
So the complexity that makes us, it comes less from the number of recipes and far more from the incredible sophistication of the regulatory networks that control them.
And that flows directly into theme two. challenging genetic determinism.
This is so important.
Slack just completely dismantles the dangerous myth that we are our genes. He hammers home that almost all complex human traits, personality, intelligence, diseases, they aren't caused by a single gene.
It's never that simple.
It's what he calls a complex tapestry of countless genes interacting with a lifetime of environmental influences. It's not nature or nurture. It always, always both.
The interaction is the whole story. Which brings us to theme three.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of genes as information processing systems.
They're not passive instructions.
No. They're dynamic systems that get signals from the environment, from hormones, from stress, and then they produce a specific output based on that context. The meaning of a gene can change completely depending on when and where it's expressed.
Slack has some really powerful ways of phrasing these ideas that just stick with you.
Yeah, there's one that I think perfectly captures the modern definition. It's something like, a gene is best understood not just as a static piece of DNA, but as a dynamic instruction whose use is carefully controlled by a complex network of molecular switches.
That's it. It puts regulation right at the center.
Exactly.
And the one that just cuts through all the genetic fatalism is so simple. Genes are not destiny. They are possibility.
Yeah, exactly.
It reframes your entire genetic inheritance as the raw material, the potential, not the final unchangeable script of your life.
My favorite, though, is the one that frames the future of science. It goes, sequencing the human genome did not provide us with a simple instruction manual. Instead, it gave us the complete parts list. The immense challenge is to figure out how these parts connect and interact. That realization that the complexity is in the connections, not the count. That's profound.
It really is.
So how does knowing all this actually change how you see the world? I mean, let's talk applications.
Okay.
Application one has to be personal health. If you understand inheritance and risk factors, you can actually engage in a meaningful way with things like genetic counseling. You can appreciate what a revolution personalized medicine really is.
Absolutely. Especially in cancer treatment. We're moving away from a one-size-fits-all approach to actually sequencing a patient's tumor and then tailoring the drugs to block the specific regulatory pathways that have gone wrong in that individual.
Knowing the basics helps you understand why that's so powerful.
Exactly.
Application two, critical evaluation of public debates. Once you get gene regulation, you can move past just fear-based arguments about, say, GMOs or CRISPR.
You start asking better questions.
Right. You ask, which specific gene was modified? What does it actually do? What are the scientifically tested risks and benefits of messing with this one part of the network?
And application three is so important for society, deconstructing social ideologies.
A huge one.
Slack makes it crystal clear that a proper understanding of genetics is a powerful antidote to racist and eugenic ideas. The science shows that genetic differences between human populations are tiny and that our idea of race is a social construct. It just doesn't map onto genetic reality in any simple way.
For me, the lasting impression from this deep dive is that shift away from seeing genetics as a static blueprint to seeing it as a dynamic script.
A performance.
Yeah, a performance. Yeah. It's this constant conversation between our inherited code and our life experiences, where the environment, chance, and our own choices all play a major role.
And the book forces you into a kind of humility, I think. This knowledge is incredibly powerful, but we have to see genes as these interconnected networks, not just isolated switches we can flip.
We need careful stewardship.
We need informed, careful stewardship of these technologies because we're still just learning the rules of this incredibly complex game.
What's the one thing that stands out most to you?
I think, linking back to that idea of a dynamic script, it's the evolutionary insight, the realization that so much of evolution isn't about creating brand new genes from scratch.
It's about changing the regulation.
It's about changing the when and the where that existing genes get used. That regulatory evolution is what creates so much of the beautiful diversity of life on Earth. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.